Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. Got a solo podcast coming for you today, but that's fine. Adam taking a break today. He carried the load. When I saw only one pair of footprints in the sand last week, that was Adam carrying us all the way through. That's fine. Today, we're going to get into Cameron Thomas, all the greatness we've seen out of him in the summer league. What to sort of expect from him as an NBA player, as Nets Twitter specifically is starting to go absolutely bonkers with the upside for this guy. I'll maybe pump the brakes a little bit, but there's a lot to get excited about first. The theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I'm Doug Norrie, the owner-operator of DFSR.com, head NBA analyst over there. You can give me a follow at Doug Norrie on Twitter. Not many Doug Norries out there, so it's not going to be tough to find. I think, well, there's one race car driver in Australia. There might be a few Norries out there, but no one got the name Douglas at birth. So not going to be too hard to find over there. No Adam Armbrecht today. I'm trying to make it up to him. This guy absolutely crushed it over the last couple of weeks. Interviews all over the place. He had the Locked On Rolodex out. Worth it to go back and listen to last week's podcast if you didn't get them. Adam talked with Rafael Barlow about the draft, Candace Cooper. She had a lot of thoughts on De'Ron Sharp. She talked to John Corrales about the upcoming season. So last week was totally packed. Like I said, trying to make it up to my boy. Jumping on doing a solo podcast here for a Monday. Always tons to talk about in Nets land. Got to watch a summer league game right now. Nets Twitter, Nets fandom is absolutely abuzz over Cameron Thomas. And that's just, we have to start here with Cameron Thomas because it's the summer league. And we talked for a while last week about what summer league games mean. Kind of not much. It sort of depends who you are. Summer league kind of games are going to really benefit a certain type of player. It's kind of score first on ball guards are not going to really benefit other kinds of players. Bigs, for instance, centers kind of get left out of the mix. So you kind of have to know what you're getting with summer league to start. And we broke that down. Now, that being said, you can garner a lot of sort of information around players, around certain types of guys. And Cameron Thomas is definitely one of them. And I'm started recording this just after they finished up the game against the Spurs. It was a Nets win. It was pretty close throughout. It kind of went back and forth. From a game perspective, it was fairly sloppy, kind of a rock fight. The last couple games have been like that. But once again, the story is Cameron Thomas. And we knew when the Nets drafted him, he had really slipped on the board. They grabbed him at 27. Most people seem to think there was an absolute steal for the Nets. It's looking great right now, obviously. But that there was a sort of, among the punditry, there was an agreement that the Nets stole a draft pick here, that he should not have fallen this far. He was kind of a green room guy. He kept slipping for whatever reason and landed. It's very much looking like he landed in the Nets' lap at this point. Still not really knowing what to expect. We saw what he had done at LSU, kind of microwave scoring. And the book on him was, can really score. We're going to see how the rest of the game develops. But in terms of scoring, that was really without a doubt. There didn't seem to be any debate about that part of his game. And man, there was a guy that was made for summer league to kind of put on a scoring show. Thomas has been the guy. The numbers have been ridiculous in terms of what he's been able to do getting the ball to go in the hoop. This game against the Spurs, it was just another one of these affairs. He scores 36 points in just 27 minutes, jacks up 25 shots in 27 minutes, including going to the line 11 times, goes 11 for 11. I'm going to get back to that one in a second. I'm going to want to talk about him going to the line. It's instructive for what we can kind of project him to be. Game before against the Wizards, that's the one where if you were watching, it goes to double OT into the sudden death piece. He hits the game-winning step back three. Really awesome moment for him. It caps off a 31 point performance, 10 for 23 from the field, 9 for 10 from the foul line in that one, went 2 for 6 from 3. If you go back one more game, I won't read any more stats after this one, he comes off the bench in that one, plays 30 minutes, gets 22, goes 3 for 7 from 3, and goes to the line 10 times and goes 7 for 10. So that's not his whole summer league, but I just wanted to, we can probably cap it at that. This has been a guy who has shown absolutely no issue scoring at all, obviously. That's what he was drafted to do. That's what he did in college. That was the book on him going in. And it's frankly the thing that has Nets fans and even Nets writers and beat writers and people that talk about the Nets a lot on Twitter really getting very excited, to the point where the excitement is so high that there is actually some pushback on the excitement now. If you kind of go into the Nets Twitter streets to show what the ceiling is, and maybe we need to pump the brakes on what Thomas is, and all over the place. This is just kind of what happens in the old, you know, what else are we going to talk about in the dead of summer? And this guy's super exciting. I get how this kind of thing can happen when it comes to people talking about it and getting really excited. But from a Nets fan's perspective, this is really a time to get excited. It's awesome. Yet you could say, I couched it by saying, yes, it's summer league. Yeah, not everyone drops 30 points a game in summer league either, right? So there's something sort of special about what he's doing in its own right, because lots of dudes play summer league and not many are able to, one, get the green light from their team to chuck it up from the rafters. And he's definitely has the willingness to do that, but also be able to capitalize on that kind of opportunity, which he definitely has. So yes, there's a shoot first, I'm going to be the one that takes the shots, I'm totally fine with that. And that's just going to be sort of what happens when he gets out on the court. But there's also a green light from the coaching staff and the Nets organization that says, hey, go do this, because actually this is what we're going to need from you or want from you during the season. This is what we drafted. We'll develop the other parts of your game. Those other parts definitely need development, for sure. The part where we're going to want a certain something out of you, which is off the bench scoring, something that's really lacked last season. Now, that's, we're splitting hairs when you have Harden or Kyrie and Kevin Durant on your team. Do you really need off the bench scoring? You do sort of when there's injuries and you start to become overly reliant on certain guys to carry all of the scoring load. But there's definitely a piece where the Nets organization is totally fine with what they're seeing here. They're saying, hey, when you go up the court, this is your ball. There's some offensive facilitation here. But for the most part, he's asked to shoot and take a lot of shots. Make sure they're good shots. Not all of them were. A lot of them were. Get to the line if you can, which I'm keep pushing this back. I do want to talk about that also. But there's a part where the Nets clearly have known that this is what his kind of core functioning is, at least to start coming into the NBA. And they want him to really lean into it. And when you watch him play summer league, you can start to, and this is what Nets, the faithful are starting to do now, is you get to start dreaming on what he can become. What is his ceiling? Well, there's a floor too. I'm going to give some comparisons here in a few minutes, but you start dreaming on these ideas about what can Cameron Thomas be? If it's this, it's coming very easy for him in the summer league. I just read the stats. He's got to be the leading scorer in summer league. I haven't actually tracked that one. I'm pretty sure he is. And if he's not, he's in the top 1% anyway. So whatever. But because the NBA is a score first league, when you have a guy like this that can score first, you can start really getting excited about it. So I want to talk in a minute here about what some of the ceiling could, this is so early, these are summer league games, but what some of the ceiling projections can look like for Cam Thomas. And also I want to talk about where some of the problems for him might run into when he actually hits an NBA court in a few months. Because for as good as he looked here, there's definitely some parts of his game that are not going to translate perfectly to the NBA level yet. And I think those are going to be worth looking at so that we can maybe pump the brakes on him. And believe me, I'm with everybody here. This is already looking like a home run pick at 27. To get a guy like this at 27 that's this comfortable scoring, that's this comfortable getting to the line, drawing contact, that's three-level scoring, the mid-range game looked great. To get this guy at 27 is already a steal. I feel very comfortable saying that one. I'm not going to go into some of the levels that some people have gone quite yet, but I think we can already comfortably say that as of right now, that pick is looking pretty great. All right, we're going to get to what some of the ceiling projections are here in a second, maybe some of the floor stuff as well, have other net stuff to get into as well. First, though, if you're like me, for years, the sweating. Oh, my goodness. I'd throw the collared shirts on. I'd have to swap them out at times. I don't like talking about it. It's one of these things you end up kind of having to live with. But, yeah, sweating became an issue. You having to swap shirts in times where you didn't want to, having to feel maybe not all the way comfortable giving presentations, being in front of a crowd. Not anymore, folks. Doctor created Sweat Block is what you have to get into. It works up for 7 days per use. Dry shirt guarantee. I've used this stuff. It works. I don't really know what else to say except to say this stuff absolutely works to keep you dry. Featured and tested by the Rachel Ray Show and by firefighters. So that's a couple of good ones. I can line myself up with those two groups of people. Bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years. Over 13,000 reviews. Manufactured in the U.S. Wear what you want to wear. It's your little secret to confidence. I know I felt the confidence after I've used this stuff. There's a must-have for everyone's bag, whether it's a big presentation, hot date. I don't have those anymore, but I can imagine I would be feeling even better if I was. If you or someone you know is dealing with this, you got to get Sweat Block today. Right now, you can go and get it at 20% off at sweatblock.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, or you can grab it on Amazon and CVS. 20% off at sweatblock.com, promo code locked on. And also something else that can make you sweat is if you're in charge of hiring for your company. Hiring's hard. You need to get Indeed. It's a job site that makes hiring incredibly simple. Trying to find those perfect candidates you can attract, interview, and hire all on Indeed. You can do it all in one place. Even the interviewing part, which is really kind of a win if you're trying to bring someone into your organization, be able to do the interviewing through the same portal is an absolute necessity. Don't just hope for your perfect candidate. We'll find you. Indeed's hiring tools are going to help you cut through the noise, hire faster and smarter. Get the Indeed Instant Match as well. That's going to give you the list of quality candidates right away the moment you post a sponsored job. You can make them pass 135 skills tests to make sure that you're finding the applications that fit the job you need. Right now, you can get started with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Indeed.com/LockedOn. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply. All right, so what can we expect from Cameron Thomas as he heads into the season here with the Nets? Okay, so here's where I'm going to pump the brakes for a few minutes and just talk about where, you know, the incompleteness of his game. So he's a great scorer. We've already established that. There's a place, obviously a place in the NBA for guys like this. I'm going to go through some of the ceiling guys that you can think about with this kind of skill set, at least entering the league. I understand he's a 19-year-old. No 19-year-olds or games are complete. So none of this is a Cameron Thomas knock on him. It's for sure not that. It's just about how summer league is going to differ from actual NBA time. So one way that it's going to differ when he actually hits the court is he is not going to be the first or second or third typically option for the Nets when he's on the court. Maybe off the bench. Maybe he gets up to the second option or something like that if the team is fully healthy. But anytime you have KD, Kyrie, and James Harden on your team, Cameron Thomas is not going to be the guy that's going to be asked to dribble the ball up and take on like a double team and take a step back three. Some of the things that he was doing or just dribble his way in and not look to pass all that often. That's just not going to happen right away with him in a Nets uniform. It's going to be hard to be a volume shooter off the bench. There are a few guys that are able to do this in the NBA. I'm going to get into a few of them in a second here. But in terms of coming in off the bench, like I said, that microwave scoring, that instant offense, there's a place for that. It'll be a little harder to come by with the Nets team because, like I said, they have three of the best offensive players in the entire game, and that sort of demand that they have the ball, with the understanding that James Harden's really good at finding some of these guys. But when you share the court with this team, you're just not going, by the nature of who you were on the team with, your usage rate is not going to be like what Cam Thomas's usage rate right now in the summer league, which is like, well, I don't know, 40 something percent or something like that, maybe higher. I mean, the usage rate is absolutely nuts. I didn't calculate it, but it's really, really high. It's probably, maybe, frankly, probably higher than that. So he's just not going to have that kind of usage on this team because there's just not enough possessions, and he's going to share the court with guys that are too good. It's okay. That's fine. They didn't draft him to be the scoring savior this year. They drafted him to, you know, because they knew they were getting a value, and there's going to be a lot of room for development here. So you're just not going to see this version of Cameron Thomas in the regular season because it just doesn't work with the Nets team, short of massive injuries across the board to, you know, two of the three scorers at any given time. Okay, so that's what we can start there. The other part that where we can probably pump his game, pump the brakes on his game, is that because it's so heavy on the scoring aspect, the other parts of the game, I'll just start on the offensive end, need a lot of work. So court vision, there's been flashes of it. It's not fantastic because his operating orders have been to go out and score. He tried to fight through a lot of. I'll take a couple examples just from this past game. When he wasn't scoring, again, understanding he dropped a million points on the Spurs. Possessions where it got hard for him were, one, double teams. They doubled him a lot at the end of the game. They brought doubles to him, I'm pretty sure, almost every possession. And that's correct because they know that he does not want to pass. Because Cameron Thomas does not want to pass, you can more effectively bring doubles because the doubles are going to be much more effective. And they were. He turned the ball over a couple times in the fourth quarter because working out of the double teams, that's just not what he wanted to do. He doesn't want to let the ball go. He wants to let the ball go toward the hoop, but he does not really often want to default to passing the ball. So a double team actually in situations like that works really, really well. That can be coached out of him. I'm not really worried about that part of it. There were other parts of his game where the court vision was lacking. There was a high pick and roll with De'Ron Sharp that he should have get both defenders went shaded toward him. Sharp was not open, but had more space than Thomas did. He didn't really know what to do. He got caught in behind, and he turned the ball over. There was one time where he drove to the basket, drew a bigger defender, and was able to kick it to the corner. The shot ended up missing, but it was actually the right play. For a guy that's really comfortable getting to the line, he looks for a lot of contact, especially around the basket, he was able to sort of see the wide open shooter in the corner and work the ball over there. So there were flashes of it. But in general, the court vision is going to need to get better at the NBA because you're going to face better competition when it comes to the defensive side, where the shots will not be as easy. And at that point, you just need to be able to start recognizing different coverages and how you are able to, you're not going to have to shoot the ball every single time. So these are the parts of his game that, and forget the defense for right now. The defense, it's impossible to tell in summer league. He was not projected to be all that willing of a defender coming out of college. That can change also. So I'm going to pause on the defensive piece just because mostly what people are getting excited about is the offensive piece. So after we look past those things, you start to say, okay, so what is a ceiling for a guy like Cam Thomas? Who are these really, you know, 6'2", 6'3", score first sort of shooting guards, can play on ball a little bit. You probably don't want them running your offense full time. But if they can play off ball and they can really fill it up in terms of scoring at times, who are the guys that, at least when they came into the league, were kind of like this and have developed their games like this? The list is exciting to think about. It's guys like Zach LaVine is like this, right? Guys like CJ McCollum to some degree. I would say Zach LaVine is a little bit more like Thomas in the sense that he like really wants to draw a lot of contact, is fine getting into the lane, can get to the line. Like I said, it's really encouraging by how much Cameron Thomas got to the line in summer league. So you want to see that confidence around the rim and in the mid-range game, because he's looking to draw a lot of contact because he's pretty comfortable with where the strength of his shot is. Another guy like this is Donovan Mitchell, who there's a lot of strength. Mitchell's weighs a little less, but kind of plays a little stronger, I would say, in terms of his ability to get to the basket. He's definitely quicker than Thomas is right now. But again, I'm just trying to give you sort of mini comps for the ceiling on this kind of play. I'm not saying that Cameron Thomas is going to be these guys, but this is the kind of player that at least he's showcasing, like sort of like that he's sort of emulating at this point, in my opinion. There's other versions of this, guys that can come off the bench and sort of just fill it up, and you're not really worried about every aspect of the game, because at least in crunch time to start, you're not going to probably be going to this guy. That'd be like a Lou Williams type, right? Like Lou Williams can go out there, you could feel very good about him going out and playing 19 to 22 minutes for your team or more, coming off the bench as a sixth man, because you knew for whatever he lacked in all the other parts of the game, the one thing was so elite that's great for that stretch of game. So I could see, like, his game doesn't really look like Lou Williams, but I'm saying that this is a comp for what he has in his bag right now. Now, Lou Williams got better about like the pick and roll stuff when he was playing with Trez Harrell with the Clippers and all that other stuff. So that game has developed over time. I'm just saying that this is what he sort of reminds me of in the what you're going to get from him early on. By the way, this is great. This is exactly what you want, at least to start before your game becomes complete. This is a guy you can confidently bring off the bench because they're going to be able to do something so important, and you might be considering him being close to do it at a kind of an elite level to start. That's probably being a little bullish on the projection, but you can feel pretty good about him coming into the league and not being scared, getting to draw contact, getting to the line this much is so important. If you are a guy that feels comfortable taking contact, that can fight through fouls, we've seen him do multiple and ones like this. He stopped in the lane a couple times and drew fouls. The body control is excellent. So when you have this kind of skill set, the other stuff is going to come, but this can be sort of right out of the box type of guy. So this is why you get really, these last few comps that I think Nets fans are sort of imagining when they watch Cam Thomas. They're imagining this type of player, this like Zach LaVine, this Donovan Mitchell type, this, you know, even and probably not Lou Williams is not what they're dreaming about, but it's the idea of this ability to score is really, really exciting. And I think Nets fans have a lot to be excited about with Thomas here. And I just wanted to say, let's just know why at the start of the season, we are not going to see summer league Cam Thomas step onto the court for the Brooklyn Nets, just because the Brooklyn Nets don't need summer league Cam Thomas to do it. But man, like I said before, what they have already is looking like it has the ability to be, or the possibility to be, pretty darn special. All right, got a couple other news and notes stuff to take care of before we get out of here. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Rock Auto. Save time, save money when using Rock Auto. I told you I had to get a new cover for the pickup truck. Rock Auto was the place to go. Tonneau cover. Didn't even know that was what it was called. I just knew I needed the cover for the Tundra. Knew how to go to Rock Auto to get it. Next thing I'm going to be in the market for is some paint, because I'm going to need to touch up a few spots. One of my kids took the old piece of glass to the side of the car door. Thought it'd be a little fun art project. Going to need to touch that up. Going to be heading over to Rock Auto for that as well. I know I'm going to be saving 30 or even 50% more than the local chain places. I won't even go to them anymore, folks. Got to go to Rock Auto. Family owned and operated for over 20 years now. The prices are reliably low for customers across the board. Anything you need, they have it there over at Rock Auto. Go check it out today. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car. Like I said, my truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And finally, got to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar. Oh, the flavors. We did a fair amount of road tripping this summer, us and the family, up in Maine right now. Didn't get into that. Watch the Summer League game overlooking some Maine ocean. It's been absolutely gorgeous. But in the car, we were diving into the Built Bars for the on-the-road snack because we knew there was a little something for everybody. Raspberry, coconut, almond, mint brownie, double chocolate. Like I said, something for everyone. Right, and the stats are going to back it up. 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, 100% covered in chocolate. You'll never believe those stats line up with the taste. Do what the family and I did. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, some final little housekeeping stuff here for Brooklyn Nets land. One piece is not great news. The Nets rescinded their qualifying offer on Reggie Perry. They had had a almost $1.5 million qualifying offer for him entering restricted free agency. They rescinded that. He's now an unrestricted free agent. The reason this is not a good sign is that, well, there's a couple of things. There's still probably a path for him to be a two-way guy on the Nets. It would mean about a $500K salary, obviously clearly less than the initial qualifying offer. But now that they've taken that back, the path for him coming back to the Nets is starting to look a little bit iffy. It's also not looking good that he's in Las Vegas, but he did not play the last 3 Summer League games. That is sort of sending the sign that he might kind of be on his way out here with the Brooklyn Nets, where they're not giving him reps in some of these games. Maybe it's because they think they know what they have in him already, but it's not like he played enough in the regular season to really probably make that claim. So be interesting to see what happens with Reggie Perry here. My guess is it doesn't happen. If they feel like they're going to give some of these two-way slots to a couple of these other young guys that played a little bit more, I'm not totally sure. They're still down on size, but it really seems like they're down on Reggie Perry at this point. So you have to feel like things aren't looking that good here. And so we'll see what happens. Like I said, he was one of 3 guys that didn't play this game, and he hasn't played in any of the last 3. He did start 4 games ago, but that's the last time he touched the court. So whether it's that the Nets has kind of seen enough and know that his game isn't really going to translate here, that could be what's going to happen here. Again, it's hard for these big guys to look good in Summer League, all things considered. But the fact that they took the money off the table and also have sort of just put him at the back of the bench in Vegas doesn't feel like this is a situation that's going to end with Reggie Perry seeing a lot of playing time with the Nets. So we'll see. I know if Adam was on the show right now, he'd be feeling pretty bummed. He's a guy who's been still dreaming on Perry. And it's not that I haven't been. It's just that I don't know. I guess I just never saw enough to really feel qualified to feel like it was going to happen one way or the other. Adam was in his corner. And so I'm sure he's going to feel, you know, bummed if this weren't going to work out for Reggie, but we'll still have to wait and see about what happens. Like I said, with G League stuff, two-way contracts, there are mechanisms and paths for him to continue back into a uniform, but we're going to have to see, and some of these other guys may have just outplayed him in Vegas. The other piece of news with the Nets, and it's so funny, so there was a note that came out that Kyle Korver had been hired as a player development coach, assistant player and development coach. I'm thinking probably in the way that Amari Stoudemire was last season, but to come in and help with just, yeah, player development. And, you know, in terms of shooting, you really can't find he's one of the great shooters ever to play basketball. He was hitting threes kind of before it was cool and continued on and just made an entire career out of being good at a lot of, you know, lots of different parts of basketball and great at one thing. I'm saying it was funny because when I first saw, I forget who broke it. I have so many alerts set on my through Twitter, but one of the whoever broke it. I saw Kyle Korver and the Nets coming through, and my instant reaction was that I just thought Kyle Korver got signed by the Nets, and I had to do this double take, because I'm like, man, when was the last time he was in the league? This is crazy. What a weird signing to bring him back, because I know he hasn't played in a couple of seasons, but I don't know. The Nets like their veterans, and maybe he's going to be on a minimum salary. It took me, this was all these thoughts happened in about 3 seconds before I read the whole thing and saw that he was going to be a coach, but and maybe 3 seconds was even too long. But my mind started instantly turning, like, oh my God, Kyle Korver is going to come in. I like this, thought this was going to be a JJ Redick spot for this kind of sharpshooter guy. Turns out that, it was incorrect. And then he was obviously just brought in to coach. But it's cool that the Nets continue to bring in these sort of like really highly respected ex-players too. And we've seen this a couple times with what they've done. I mentioned Amari before, that the Nets organization is, again, it's trending this way where the superstars want to play, but it's also been sort of trending this way where other people in the league and people, you know, ex-players and other names that are coming up through the assistant coaching ranks are wanting to be part of this as well. Because, one, it makes sense. The Nets are, again, they're the odds-on favorite to win the championship next year. But they just continue to be such a class organization that it makes them attractive on all fronts to come in and work for. And so Kyle Korver strikes me as just another example of that. What do I know about his coaching ability? I don't. I know he was an awesome shooter to watch, and I always loved when he was able to pair up with guys that could get him the ball. But it just kind of spoke to me about what the Nets organization continues to build in terms of respectability around the league, respectability around its current stars, and its ex-players that still have weight around the NBA. So Kyle Korver coming in as a development coach, it'll be interesting to see who he works with. The Nets are not lacking of guards that they need to have shoot. And so who better to work with them than one of the better NBA three-point shooters ever. So Kyle Korver on board from a coaching in a coaching seat. All right, we're going to get out of here, or I'm going to get out of here. Adam will be back later in the week, I'm sure, as we roll through this off season, some of these summer months. We're going to try to bring you as many episodes per week as possible. We are hitting, after summer league, you go through a little bit of a downtime within NBA circles. It's when a lot of NBA, just guys and gals, take their vacations. Adam and I are not going to take any vacation here. We are going to be coming at you multiple times a week still through the summer and into the early fall, because that's what we do. Love talking basketball. Adam's got a bunch of cool what-ifs about Nets sort of history we're going to get into. We're going to do breakdowns of last season as well, player grades, what to expect from guys coming in this season. We got a ton that we're going to get into in the off season. You can rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Make sure to like and subscribe. Maybe throw a little review out there. Really appreciate those reviews. Helps us continue to climb the charts. Had great numbers over the last couple weeks, even though the season's well over. That's always super encouraging. So rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. We'll be back again later in the week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.